Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma from Complex. It is the first Complex Sneakers podcast, and I'm here with my guys, Matt Welty and Brendan Dunn. How are you guys feeling?
This is an historic moment.
It is.
First of many. We're happy to be here every single week. We're going to be delivering some hot takes. I know Welty's got a lot of opinions on all things sneakers. So.
And this guy's been super excited. I saw him in the bullpen. He was playing old Kanye West deep cuts, dancing. I saw him dancing 3 hours before this podcast. This guy really woke up with some pep in his step today.
Yeah, I think I was playing music from the era about things that we're going to talk about, kind of get myself in the mood for it. I think I was playing the Get 'Em High remix by A-Track.
Okay. Shout out to A-Track.
Yeah, just to kind of, you kind of got to remember things and get back into the mind space where we were at some of these times.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I will say, new podcast, and we are all together, and we have two successful shows. The only thing, the craft services in here, it is looking desolate.
It's non-existent. It's, let's just call it spade a spade.
Not even no water, and I know this guy gets stressed out to my right, Matt Welty. You know what he gets when he's stressed out? The Duane Reade Prosciutto. That's not on your rider. It's not here.
Don't do that to your body anymore, Welty. You have to step it up.
We got to go to Paisano's in Brooklyn, the meat market. You can't be eating Duane Reade Prosciutto anymore.
I've switched it up. Less stress. Eating walnuts and drinking water.
Okay.
And a newer, healthier Welty for 2019 and going into 2020.
Yeah, man, you got to change things up sometimes. Like the show.
Changing things up. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, I'm happy to be here with you guys, and we are delving into a discussion today of something that has been in the quote unquote sneaker news for, I don't know, what do you guys want to say, like the last few months, and really has hit fever pitch for the past few weeks, I would say.
I would say maybe even like the past year a little bit, like maybe past like year and a half.
We're talking about the heat around the Nike SB Dunk right now. Right?
Yeah. Yes. The Nike SB reemergence. And, you know, I think that we all can agree that it kind of got quiet for a while, you know, and when I say a while, it would be years.
Yeah.
And now it's back full force, and we've seen kind of some key influencers and people, celebrities, taking a liking and going back and kind of what you wrote, digging in the crates and bringing out heat. And now there is this reemergence, and the Nike SB Dunk and the Nike SB line that we grew to love in what, the mid 2000s, mm-hmm, is now being opened up to a whole new generation of kids. And Welty, you wrote a piece last week that kind of examined this on Complex, and you know, someone who I would consider as like a traditionalist, mm-hmm, how do you feel about the reemergence right off the bat?
Well, I mean, it's always nice to kind of see things that you were into back in the day kind of get a new light. You know, mm-hmm, you may have grown past them in your own personal life, but to go back to these moments and remember them is always kind of nice. One of the things I touched upon in the story was, I think one of the moments where it was kind of the genesis of this new Nike SB revival was at ComplexCon in 2017,
right,
when you had Dre from Project Blitz and Nick Diamond's legendary Nike SB collaborator. Mm-hmm. They decided to collaborate together and make a mini ramp in the middle of ComplexCon that was full of Nike SB grails. And you had people like Paul Rodriguez and Eric Costin, like legendary Nike SB skaters, and they kind of showed up and were skating the ramp. And I think people were kind of like, hey, Nike SB can maybe be cool again.
Do you consider that a turning point in terms of this new reemergence of Nike SB?
I think that was the first moment where people started to, even though if it wasn't like a sneaker release or anything like that, like closely after that, you had the Black Pigeon from Staple, mm-hmm, release. So it was kind of
first seen at ComplexCon, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, and you know what I love about the Nike SB era is, like, if you were into it, you were buying every single one. And when you look back and you go back, like, when I'm home in my parents' basement, mm-hmm. I have so many because it was so addicting. Every release, I there was obviously some misses, but there were so many releases that I bought just because in the Nike SB era, I wanted every single one. But it was a thing where once you go back, you just find – it's like finding baseball cards, and mm-hmm. and all of them are like – rookie cards of, like, you know, don't want to date myself, but like Cal Ripken Jr. rookie cards of that stature. And I think that's what makes, you know, going back, it's not even like the Jordan to me. It's like there's so many different models that were great for so many different reasons, and the stories behind them hold up today.
Well, can we talk about our own history with this stuff too? Because I feel like we would be doing the audience a disservice if we didn't discuss like how we actually participated in this whole Nike SB stuff. Welty, I think, maybe most qualified among us as a legit quote unquote skateboarder.
Yeah.
Well, he kickflipped once. So
no, I used to skate like heavily in like pre Nike SB era, mm-hmm. like 2000, 2001, 2002.
Mm-hmm. And you weren't skating in Nikes, right?
No, we were not skating in Nike sneakers, or I used to skate like in Adidas like mid top shell toes, mm-hmm. but mostly just skating skate specific shoes, mm-hmm. DC and stuff like that. I remember when Nike's ads first came out, you kind of saw a skate.
The Nike SB ads.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. saw them they're always in the back end of the Thrasher magazine, and you had guys like, you know, Danny Supa and Richard Mulder, a guy who I really looked up to, in these ads, and you were kind of like, wait, is this cool or not? Because I think skaters were really hesitant about liking Nike because skate culture itself is so resistant to kind of mainstream. Mm-hmm. You almost consider it like jock culture, mm-hmm. you know, with a brand like Nike being so athletic. But I think, like, as the years went on, I think at least for myself, what made the SB era really fun was it was also that emergence of streetwear.
Was there something specific that convinced you that Nike SB was legit, or that this was something you wanted to be a part of? Because it sounds like you didn't trust it at first.
Yeah, but then you kind of saw things go on, and I think I grew more in love with just sneakers as a whole, and was buying a lot of just kind of random models that I kind of knew I was really into shoes. And then after a point, I kind of wanted to get Dunks, and at that time you couldn't just buy Dunks at any store, especially right. like being in New Hampshire at the time. It was like, where are you going to get the shoes? And then you kind of had heard, like, on like MySpace or something like that, that this one store downtown,
Friendster.
Yeah, is selling, you know, Nike SBs, and you had to go, and you're like, I just want a pair of SBs. And then, like, they're kind of like, well, what colorway do you want? And you're like, I don't know, I just want a pair of Dunks. And they kind of like, I remember getting like the Crimson Dunk was like the first one that I bought, and I was just like super hyped on it. You know?
Yeah, was it a similar experience for you, Joe? Because I feel like in a lot of this stuff, you're a few years older than us, and you were maybe a little bit ahead of us in terms of what you were buying, where you were buying it.
You know, the thing about me is, like, the Nike SB era, I probably got to a little late, like, I think around 2005. Like, the Tiffany Dunk for me, I always say it is the craziest I've ever gone over a shoe. And when I say craziest, I mean calling Special Sauce in Bayshore, Long Island, that's not there anymore.
And you were a civilian at the time, or you were already in the industry in a minute?
No, I was working at Finish Line at the time.
Okay.
And at Finish Line, and I'm sure that you sold like the thick tongue Dunks that weren't SBs. They weren't labeled SBs, but there were so many classics, and some of them had thick tongues. And then Nike SB era came a little later, but the Tiffany Dunk 2005, I was calling Special Sauce in my town on the hour. It was crazy. And then if I couldn't get through or I was at work, I would have my mom call. And, you know, everyone always says, oh, we love that we used to go into when people kind of say, like, oh, you know what's messed up about the sneaker game now is that you can't go into a store and be surprised anymore. Everything's out in the open. Mm-hmm. The thing about SBs is you knew vaguely when they were coming out,
right,
and when they were being on shelves, but walking into your local skate shop and seeing a shoe that is on the shelves that you've heard about and not sold out because not everyone really knew it at the time. Like the P-Rod, it's to a lesser extent, mm-hmm. obviously it's not the Tiffany Dunk, but the P-Rod Tinker.
The J-Rods,
exactly. Yep. With the Jumpman on the tongue was literally, I was walking by, I remember there was a pastrami deli right next to the
it wasn't Dwayne
there
Reed.
There was a Jewish deli right next to Special Sauce, and I remember walking by to get a pastrami sandwich, and the J-Rods were in the window, and I was like, how are these sitting there? I went in and got them, and those non-firm release dates where you kind of had to be in the know, and then I
think it was like a month. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't. There would always be a picture that you could post on Nike Talk where it'd be like July 2006, and there'd be like the pictures of the shoes. But like you're saying, I kind of remember like you'd be go. There was this store called Identity in Portsmouth, New Hampshire that I used to go to, and like you'd go in and you'd be like, you wouldn't know what was there. Like, you know, you didn't want to call all the time, but the second you walked into the store and saw the shoes on the shelf, it's like your fucking heart started
crazy.
Beating.
Joe,
and you're just like,
did you ever end up getting the Tiffany's? I want it.
Okay, so about the Tiffany's. One, I didn't get them from Special Sauce, even though I called nonstop. Two subsequent stories about the Tiffany's. One, I had no money at the time. I mean, I was making Finish Line, whatever. Yeah. Like, not that much. I ordered them from Germany. $300, I got scammed. No.
Ouch.
Yep. Never came. And then it was like DHL. That's who I was dealing with. Never came. Never. And it was like months and months of back and forth, and then never came. And then I actually bought a pair from someone. It was actually someone who used to work at Complex. You guys don't know him. Back in the day. And I think they were a fake pair, and I kind of wore them anyway, to be honest.
Like,
who
was it?
They were real. You guys don't know him. He was like in sales. It's like it was.
You donned the fakes. You weren't.
Yeah.
They may have been fake.
They may have been fake. And then also, my college girlfriend, I wore them to UConn, and she had a cat, and we woke up the next morning, and the toe box was scratched. So I have a long history with the Tiffany Dunk.
Ouch.
And, I hit up Corgi. I actually hit up Corgi, like, 3 weeks ago. He posted a Tiffany Dunk, and I was like, send it to me. Like, I want them. And, unfortunately, they sold out. But that's how crazy it was. It's like I have a long history with this shoe, but that shoe, I mean,
Brendan,
come on.
You have, like, a different history considering you're, like, a few years younger.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of fell into it in the same era Joe did in terms of Nike SB, and that was, like, the first Nike stuff that I really cared about or that I knew was special. And, again, it's around 2005. You know, this is when the Pigeon Dunk came out, and, you know, that was such an easy story to understand as a kid that this thing was so important. Look, there's all this evidence of how important it is. There was a riot. There's this many pairs.
Right.
They're selling for this much. So that was kind of the point where I realized I needed to be a part of this and I needed to figure out how to source these things. I never could back then. You know, I was living in Idaho, a super rural place. We had no type of Nike SB accounts anywhere near. I've told the story a few times before, but the first SB shoe I had wasn't a Dunk. It was a Nike SB FC, the Barcelona colorway.
Like the soccer. Wasn't it
exactly,
like a soccer
shoe? I found them in like...
Is it the Brazilian one?
The Barcelona.
Okay.
The Barcelona.
They made a Brazilian one too.
Yeah, there were a bunch of clubs. So I found them in Ross for like $40.
Wow, that's crazy.
I knew it wasn't the right SB shoe to have, quote unquote, but I knew it was a Nike SB shoe. And that was like more than anybody in my high school had at the time. You know, from there I was trying to figure it out. You know, I think I bought some through catalogs, you know, what was it, CCS?
Yes,
I bought some like Nike SB Dunk Mids back then too, and then in college, just like spending a lot of money, you would get the refund check after after your scholarships and your grants kicked in, and
scholarship,
you had,
a few
Pell grants. You had some extra money, and like all that would go to sneakers in general, but like a lot of it to the local skate shop in Eugene, Oregon at the time was Tactics. So we would go down there and just buy whatever.
I remember all those Tactic identities.
I remember the funny part was it was, I think, before I'd gotten my first pair of Dunks, I'd gone to a sneaker store down at my grandma's house in South Jersey, and it's called, I think, Just for Feet. And they had, like, regular athletic shoes, but they actually had Nike SB. It was kind of a weird mix, but they sold skateboards, so they, like, were able to sell both. Because I think that was the rule. You actually had to sell... you didn't have to be a skate shop, but the shop had to sell skateboards to sell Nike SBs.
Right.
And I remember going in, and there was, like, three pairs of SBs. I think it was, like, the Irie Dunks, the Irish one. And then there was, like, the Team Edition Nike SB, the USC colorway.
Yeah.
Remember the Team Edition and the Pigeon colorways, just to interrupt?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, if you didn't get this one, you could get this one. And it was like,
also,
it's different.
I need to interrupt, too, because I'm pretty sure I had a fake pair of the Era. I think it's pronounced Era.
Yeah.
The Era Dunks, because that was, like, the one that I wanted for a while, and there was a store kind of nearby in Spokane, Washington, and it was like the first like hype sneaker store in the general area of the inland Pacific Northwest, if we can be specific. But I told this guy I wanted a pair, and he was like, yeah, I'll get you. And I'm pretty sure the stuff he sold in general was legit, but it took him a long time, and I had given him the money, and he gave me the shoes, and I didn't know any better. But, you know, through not a lot of wear, I think the tag on the tongue started to fall off, and I was like... pretty certain,
and that's
that
what happened
those
with my
it.
Tiffany's. And maybe another deep dive we have to do is how the fakes were plentiful at that point.
I hope people appreciate these moments of
honesty. Just to wrap it up, there was like the three shoes on the wall, and the shoes were kind of crazy colors at that time. And I'm like, I really want to get this shoe, but the colors were so crazy. I'm like, you can't really wear it like every day. Mm-hmm. And I ended up buying a pair of all white Nike Legends, which was such a stupid, like, I'm kind of like, why did I do that? Now, if I could have looked back, like, I could have bought it, but.
I think we're looking back maybe a little bit too much. I want to talk more about the present day.
Yep.
You know, Joe, you called it like a fully fledged revival. I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say that, because I think one asterisk this whole wave of Nike SB interest deserves is that it's all based on nostalgia. It's all based on shoes that came out 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. And it's funny because I don't even know how much the people in Nike are celebrating this moment, because these aren't shoes that people are trying to buy at retail now. The shoes that people are going crazy for right now is old stuff, right?
I think let's just set the stage a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think just to admit the reason why there is a huge interest in Nike SB right now, when we had mentioned, you know, Dre from Project Blitz doing the thing there. There was also next year with Nick Diamond. There was also that
at ComplexCon 2018, the Canary Diamond.
Yeah, where you were involved in it, and it was a crazy mad rush for that shoe. So there was a huge interest in that, but.
And that was a new shoe, but that's based on an old shoe.
Dre being involved with, he's known as Travis Scott sneaker plug.
Right.
He's been hooking Travis up, or selling to Travis, a lot of his very rare Nike SB collections. So now Travis is wearing some of the biggest grails we've ever seen, you know, in Nike SB history. He had like Paris Dunks, not
Supremes.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everything. And I think, you know, Travis being the biggest name in sneaker culture at this point, everyone else is like, I need to get into this. I need to get into it.
And people are getting into it. And there's also people who have been doing it forever. You know, we always say Wale may not get the credit as some of these other people who the youth is kind of gravitating to in a rabid way. But Wale was always doing SBs. But there's definitely been a revival in terms of the celebrity kind of attractiveness to wearing SBs nowadays. And, you know, we see it on my show. We had Offset on Sneaker Shopping. We talked about SBs. He bought the Slam City Skate SBs. And I think, you know, now we're in an era where it's always kind of discussed, give credit where credit is due, but the credit kind of comes in many forms. Like, if some people's favorite rappers are Travis Scott and Offset, and they watch every move, and they're being introduced to Nike SBs, then I don't think anyone should kind of be at fault
for
that.
But it's also caused other people in that kind of space to kind of get onto it. You know, like PJ Tucker, also, you know, sneaker guy, going for the SBs.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I think the funniest thing I saw was someone had made a joke on when I had written the story last week. They said, I knew the Nike SB trend was bullshit when I saw Young Dolph wearing skunks.
Wow.
I don't really subscribe to that. I get it. Like, I always say, and even when we're pitching sneaker shopping to the outside world, this is not a sneaker quiz. Mm-hmm. I totally respect and I totally get the kind of, I've been here, I know all about this subject, and I should maybe be put in a different light because I actually, quote unquote, live this. But also, at the end of the day, I think anyone should be able to wear whatever they like, and it should be as basic as I like how this looks. And one thing I would say is, like, to me, it's ironic that back in the day, I think, Welty, you touched on this, that the Nike SB was kind of met with reluctancy from core skaters, and now we have some people questioning the authenticity of those who are going back and getting new models.
I think one thing, though, is that it does genuinely hurt the people who have been into this stuff, because there was a moment there, you know, when Nike SB cooled down. So I think maybe, like, the height of it in terms of hype was around 2005. A lot of Grails released then. By around 2009, 2010, it had quieted down
quite
a bit.
Once the Blue Box kind of came out, I think that there were some shoes in that range, but that was kind of signaled the end of
it. And then, you know, 2009, 2010 to about 2016, there weren't a lot of notable releases. And in that time, toward the tail end of that period, you could get the stuff you wanted to get for cheap, relatively cheap. Right. A lot of the prices had bottomed out. You could get shoes from 2005, 2006, dead stock, never worn, Nike SB Dunks for $300, stuff that, you know, in years prior might have been $600 or $700. And now in this new wave that we're in, which we're kind of, you know, you can say giving credit to or blaming on rappers, is that those prices are way, way back up. And Welty said earlier that it's Grails that they're wearing. It's not necessarily Grails. It's a lot of stuff that isn't that crazy, but they wear it, and the prices go way, way up. And the regular people, we can't participate like we used to.
I get that, but I will say this. There's still, the secret is still not out on some models. For instance,
this is true.
The T19, I just bought literally the T19 Nike SB Dunk High, which to me is like it's a classic. Like, would you guys consider it a classic? Or at least an underrated classic?
No, underrated. We use the word classic too liberally in sneakers.
To me, I remember Bradley Carbone, who was the first sneaker editor at Complex, wearing them, and I was like, wow. And I just got them before this podcast, literally a half hour before.
Verified.
I'm saying you did.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You were sitting right next to me. Sorry.
You've seen the receipts.
And for $300. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I would say that means the secret is still out, even though, of course, the Supremes are going to go crazy. The Slam City Skates have just... The prices
that
have gone.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean,
it's a good shoe, but
I love that shoe back in the day. But that price is skyrocketed. But there are some classics that I got for cheap recently because it seems that the kids may not be hip, or underrated classics. The kids may not be as hip to them.
But also with all of that, there is, you know, I think you can kind of. I'm not trying to gatekeep or anything like that, but when people are trying to prove that they knew back in the day that they were like, I was in the Nike SB back in the day, and then some of the models that they're bringing out are a little like suspect,
questionable stuff.
When it's like, oh, you're trying to flex a pair of Bic Dunks or a pair of Skater Die Dunks, and it's like those shoes were like okay, but like if you really were like the Nike SB king back in the day, I don't think that those were the choices you'd be making. And I think we kind of have to touch on it because it was kind of like a topic on our own show, Full Size Run. We had Reese LaFlair on, who actually skated for Nike SB back in the height of it, and he had called out, you know, not to talk too much about it, but Offset, you know, for saying that he was the king of Nike SB, and he was like,
did he say that?
Well, he was like, Offset.
He didn't. Offset didn't say he was the king of Nike.
He didn't say that, but Reese was like, you know, he's like, we knew that you weren't there back in the day. That's kind of the gist of what he was saying. You know,
what I told you guys is like, I don't think first of all, we don't know exactly
for sure.
We don't know exactly how many pairs of Nike SBs Offset had growing up or in his closet. The one thing I would say is, if you get a level of success and fame and you make money because a lot of kids enjoy your talent and a lot of kids go to your shows and a lot of kids stream your records and you are into something and you want to go back and buy a set of things that you were moderately interested in and have the money to do it, I don't think... I'm just different. I know, Welty, I know that you are more...
Clark voice, different.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I know that you're more of a gatekeeper than me, and I get it, and I respect those who do it, but I don't penalize ever. Like, hey, I'm into this. I know enough about this to appreciate it, and I'm going to go back and buy all the ones I wanted as a kid and couldn't get, because, to be honest, on a smaller scale, I think some of us in this room are doing it.
No, and I think, I think that's fine, and I think a lot of people kind of have over-exaggerated the extent which I'm kind of like, you can't be into this. I just think it's weird sometimes when people kind of try to, like, prove that they were doing something when, you know, you were just talking about how you living in Long Island, which is a place that's relatively close to, like, the epicenter of, you know, Nike SB at the time and how mm-hmm. difficult it was for you to get the sneakers, right. you know, and a lot of these sneakers, they were not easy to get. Like you're saying, you couldn't get the shoes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if all of a sudden everybody had the shoes back then, you know, it's just like, it just makes you think a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, cause totally. It's just, I'm not questioning the fact that you may have liked Nike SB back then, but I remember during the Nike SB era, you didn't see that many people at all with Nike SB. It was kind of like if you saw somebody in an all-over print hoodie, 501 jeans, like fucking five-panel hat and a pair of SBs,
right.
you were kind of like, oh, shit, we're into the same thing. You've read
Hypebeast.com
before, you know, and it's like you met like one random person like that. But all of a sudden, it's like every other sneaker person was a huge Nike SB guy back then. And I remember even back in that era, a lot of the kids who were into Jordans and stuff like that hated on Nike SB because they weren't even accepting of it within sneaker culture.
Right, right.
Interesting.
What do you guys think are the best new Nike SB releases? Again, I want to figure out like whether or not Nike SB has really done anything in the past 5 years. But
yep.
I like some of those, but Purple Lobsters, Canary Dunks, Panda Pigeons, Black Pigeons, they're all related to stuff that happened before. Like, yeah. I'm just trying to figure out if this is sustainable or if this is something that will translate into new product coming out.
Can you imagine, we were talking last week in the office, can you imagine if they start retroing the Nike SB classics, like the Stussy's and the Tiffany?
You can't do it. You can't do it because it literally, like...
But let's caveat real quick. They did in some way, used to...
The high.
They made the high, changed the high.
It was not the
them.
Same, though. Even right. the Tiffany Dunk Low and the Tiffany Dunk High was not the same. And even,
no.
I think the market reacted that way. Like,
don't you think it kind of kills the prestige that this whole era would have?
It would definitely kill the prestige, but it would continue
for the next generation.
I wouldn't put it beyond Nike.
I would rebuy them 1,000%.
If they did a Stussy in a pink box, would you go buy the shoe?
Like, yes.
I would, yeah.
100%.
But
that's why,
and
prestige,
too.
I don't know. I would it kill the prestige, or would it basically be another really crazy type of movement that kids are up on and the story is getting retold? And again, I think it would be tough for older generation sneakerheads to swallow the thought of that. But man, I would definitely go back and
it's the same thing that happened to Jordans. I mean, how many people were confused when Jordans first started coming back out and the kids that were buying them didn't care about Jordan? I mean, we talk about that conversation all the time. The other thing is just like how much wealth, you mentioned, like how much prestige or cachet these items retain. You know, I remember, of course, the Nike SB Pigeon Dunk, like when you first learn about this stuff, that's the one. You're like, that's my grail. You know,
yeah,
your taste
right.
evolves, and eventually you have more thoughts and something more nuanced to figure out your own real grail, not just the grail that other people told you had to get, you know, but still was a shoe I wanted to get. And then finally the Black Pigeons came out and I was like, I have to get the shoe. I have to get the Black Pigeon Dunk. It's the only chance I'll ever get to own a Pigeon Dunk in some form. I bought them. I can't remember if I had a retailer help me or not, but I got them. And I've been sitting on for a couple of years, and then I looked at Flight Club, and they were going for $700 or $800, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to let go of these.
Yes.
It wasn't like it didn't mean that much to me anymore. Right. I took them there, and I dropped them off.
But I think one of the things, too, that we kind of forget with Nike SB is that Jordan Brand was never built on exclusivity. Maybe it was exclusivity of being able to afford a product at that
okay.
at that price point, but Jordan Brand was always like a mass release product. Like the Air Jordan 1, the Air Jordan 4, when those shoes all first came out, the idea of limited edition sneakers didn't really exist.
Right.
I think the difference is between seeing these shoes retro is that, you know, people who grew up on Nike SB were kind of conditioned on the idea that you were kind of cooler than everyone else because you had these shoes. That whole era of streetwear was based on how cool you were because of how limited the stuff you had was.
Mm-hmm.
It was all on Nike Talk trying to flex. It's like, I have this, you know, Commonwealth fitted hat that like only like five other people have.
Hold on, I just want to recall a fit of that era. So it was, I had the Commonwealth fitted hat, a mint green with the tie dye on the inside. It was
LRG
like
all over hoodie,
a silky thing. No, hold on, I'm okay. getting there. Hundreds T with a pretty close, it wasn't the exact Pantone, but pretty okay. close shade. And then I had, and this is maybe a faux pas, but a gray pair of Hundreds sneakers in the same shade as the T. It was the neon
I'm
atom
sure they
bomb
moved a
tea.
Lot of those. I'm not mad
oh, yeah.
at that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put everyone on the spot real quick. Top three Nike Dunk SBs. I have mine, I think. Do you have yours, Welty?
All time?
Yes.
Or is it just like what you think are the best?
Is it your personal? Because I always...
It could be some that you own or three that you don't own that you always wish.
I'm
going
to say what
have...
I don't own. Cause
okay.
That's...
I'm just going to go with ones that I have that always meant something to me or I mean, Doom Dunks, mm-hmm. that was one of the shoes I camped out for that meant a lot. Mm-hmm. Getting Mork and Mindy Dunks at the time, okay. I thought that that was an amazing shoe. And I mean, I want to say Tiffany's, but like you said before, actually, you know what? You know which one I fucking love? And I totally forgot about this shoe, is the Vamp Dunks, the all red low tops with the
blacks. I like the black with the red,
but no, I like the all red ones. Okay. To me, that was the first like all red sneaker that was super hype.
Ooh, okay, yeah, I remember these.
Joe, what are your three? And what is it? Is this your top three, or this is three you want?
Top
or,
three. Okay. I don't know if you can consider the Tiffany ones that I own because they may or may not be real.
They're questionable.
Yes. Fine. Stussy Dunks, which I brought back from my parents' house recently. The Tiffany Dunk, just because it's one of those hi-hat moments for me in terms of my rabid sneaker copping craze mm-hmm. and the long history that we've discussed earlier in this podcast. And you know what I really love? I love the De La Highs. Mm. You know, I know that a lot of them came out and the lows came out. But those to me were, I remember getting those and those are something special to me. But the thing about SBs, like the Send Helps, I love. There's mm-hmm. so many.
But there were so many stories behind the shoes, yeah. too. And I think that that's what kind of made us connect with the sneakers. It's like the reason why the Doom Dunk is one of my favorite shoes is because MF Doom was actually my favorite rapper at the time. And the fact that they were giving sneakers and nods to a lot of subcultural things. And that's what I think what made Nike SB cool is because they were championing the underground things that other people never would have recognized before.
Yeah, long before every sneaker brand and every pitch told you that people care about stories around product, Nike SB was like, to me, the trailblazer in that regard of telling stories around product. I'm going to give my top three. I'm going to switch it up and just say ones I never owned because to me that's easier. Doom Dunks for sure. Even though those were never like super difficult to obtain, I was always like a huge MF Doom fan and like I never wanted to shell out the like $300 that they sat at for a long time and what now they're probably like $600 or something like that. Maybe Welty will cut me a deal. I'm gonna throw an off-kilter one in there, and like it's okay that I'm, you know, it's not a great shoe, and I understand that, you know, like objectively, you know, the Peacock SB Dunk Mid, I just thought that was like the height of that absurd color blocking and look, and I know the mid is kind of not really generally accepted, but I remember seeing a kid wearing them. I wanted them so bad, and then I was like, you know, on this long trip in Europe, this Odyssey, and I remember seeing a kid.
Travel Flex.
Wearing them in 2007 in a small beach town in France, and I was like, there it is in real life. And it was those moments of like, oh my god, these really exist, I could really own that one day. So I don't know if I would spend the money now, but and then the last one is 2002 Flash Dunks black and orange. Like it's just a clean colorway.
I remember a really weird flex, or not weird flex, but just like strange Nike SB story. So I remember when the Doom Dunks dropped, I'm camping out in line and it's raining out, and this kid,
how long were you camped for?
We had to wait like an hour and a half.
But okay.
It was like raining.
Okay, not
out.
Camping then.
Yes, capping.
Okay, yeah, okay. Exactly. An hour and a half is not camping, but go ahead.
God. Anyways.
The hyperbole is crazy.
But the kid standing behind me had a pair of the Pharrell Bapestas on. And like I looked down, I'm like, oh shit, you meet another sneaker kid or whatever. And he's like, hey, I'm like, hey, I work at Foot Locker, whatever.
Pharrell Bapestas? Weren't they Roadsters?
Roadsters, sorry, oh, that's true.
Okay. Fact check that. But it is a sneaker podcast.
So I ended up hiring the kid at Foot Locker to come work with us, and his beaters were actually a real pair of Tiffany Dunks. And he used to, this kid used to come to work. Wow. He was this 16-year-old kid and used to come to work every single day in a pair of Tiffany Dunks. And like the few people that knew were like, why?
You knew in that moment that you made the right decision hiring him. Like,
yeah. No, but everyone's like, why is, like, they kids would get so angry about it. They would see them and they'd be like, why are you wearing these in public? You can't wear those shoes. You'll crease them. You'll ruin them. Like,
I love it.
Cooking them.
Yeah. I guess to put a pin in this discussion, can we all agree that we're happy that this reemergence is happening? Would our daily sneaker conversations be a little less entertaining if the Nike SB was still as cold as it was, even though we're talking about older models and maybe not the newer Nike SB models? That's a deep sigh.
I don't know if I'm happy about it, because I feel like the people who have long appreciated them still were, and it just, the way it affects me the most personally is that the stuff I thought I would go back and buy one day, I can't. So I'm not
Yeah, but I'm telling you, you could search some underrated classics.
Can we see you wearing Nike SBs though?
He's gotten so many different bags from so many different brands in the last month.
Yeah. I have a lot of Deadstock stuff that I want to bring. I have a pair of JPEG Dunks sitting at my desk right now. Deadstock. I can't wait to do those. Like you'll see me in it.
Yeah, I think I'm excited just because even if I'm not going to wear this stuff personally at this point in my life, sometimes it's good to see your nostalgia come full circle.
Absolutely.
And you don't feel like a man just reminiscing on the past all the time when the past has become the present. Mm. Once again, where it's like, I know people say trends are always cyclical, where it's always like, bell-bottom jeans are going to come back in. And when
I'm waiting.
Yeah. And when they finally do. But, you know, it's actually kind of cool to like live to see it again. It makes you remember why you got into sneakers in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
100%, and I think, you know, for us, I think that's a perfect way to end it. I think we all agree. Well, actually, we don't all agree. You know, Dunn is a little apprehensive. I think me and Welty kind of agree that we're happy to see it back, and who knows what's going to happen, because once people are talking about it, the brands start to react. So mm-hmm. let's see what steps the brand actually takes now that these are a big topic of conversation. Thanks, everyone. This was the first Complex Sneakers podcast, and we will be with you weekly. And, you know, hopefully the next time we come in, there's some Sentio water and there's some fine prosciutto from Paisanos. And what other sponsors do we want maybe to kind of sponsor the podcast and make sure that the craft services are up to snuff? Because right now it's a little barren in here.
Is your busy schedule going to allow it, though?
Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to be here. No matter what my travel schedule allows, I will be here every week with you guys.
Fresh off the private jet.
Yeah, we just landed. We were shooting 12 hours ago, and we're here, baby. So, the Complex Sneakers podcast every week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am Joe LaPuma.
I'm Matt Welty.
I'm Brendan Dunn.
See you guys next week.
Later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.